Well, good evening. It's good to see everybody here tonight. Glad to have you with us on our social media platforms, whether that's Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Heart, like, share, subscribe, follow us, do all those things. Comment especially. Those are the things that really help to get the word out to all of your friends that our services are live. If you want to leave a prayer request, please be sure to do that over on Facebook. And want to say welcome to those who are on our phone live streaming, listening there. Thank you for being there with us. If you have access to our church website at highlandbaptistchurch.com, over to the info tab is where you can download the worship bulletin for this week. Those are in the windowsills and at the doors as you leave tonight. Be sure to get one of those, as well as the children's worship bulletins are in the windowsill to my right. Those are under that info tab. You can share the link, print them off, give those to people. And then under that info tab especially is your prayer list for tonight. So be sure to get that downloaded. We've got some updates to give to you tonight for some of the people on that list. And maybe you have some to give to us also. If you have any, as we said a while ago, please do that on Facebook. That's where we'll see it for the live service. You can call the church tomorrow and leave us a message or talk to Miss Amy, and we'll get that request that you may have on the prayer list for you. While you're there on the church website, go to the far right hand side, click the Give Online tab. You can do your online giving there. So I encourage you to take the time to do that. You can do a one-time gift, a recurring gift. You can do that in person from here also. You can also do your offering through the envelopes that are in the pews in front of you and just place it in the offering plate. You can even do that on a Wednesday night. So I encourage you to take the time to do that. A couple of other quick announcements of things that we've got coming up. Don't forget that we need volunteers still to help with the sound and audio visual. We need volunteers for Vacation Bible School. We need volunteers for the ministry on Fridays. Again, this last Friday they didn't have it because of the extreme cold, but so I'm sure there'll be quite a few that'll be here to make up for that this coming Friday. So if you want to come and help the ladies and those who are helping with that ministry, that's at 9 or 9:30, Miss Rima. 9 o'clock till about 11:30. And so if you can come and help with that, or you just want to come and see what it's about so that you might volunteer to help us more long-term with that, please let us know. And then don't forget, this coming Saturday, we have the 75th anniversary planning meeting. If you want to be involved in that in any way, you don't have to be on the church council to be involved in that. We need people to help in lots of different ways. And so if you want to come to that, that's going to be at 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Won't be too long of a meeting, just an hour. We'll let you go fairly quickly. We just want to get some information out to you, get some organization started, and then there'll be more meetings with those different groups and teams that'll be meeting throughout the year to, as we progress towards the different services and different celebration things we'll be doing throughout the year. So that's this Saturday, 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock in the fellowship hall if you want to help us. And then, good news, y'all get to be in on the first to know. This Sunday, nothing goes wrong, you'll be getting your pictures from the directory that we took. And so we'll probably have a couple of people down here on the sides with like A through something here and whatever else through Z over here, so that you can go to your alphabetical side there and be able to get your envelope with your pictures and the information for how to download or purchase pictures off the website there. And then if you will need any help after that, we've got some instruction in the envelope for you for what you might need some help with, how you can proceed with that. So just wanted to give y'all that's what you get the benefit for coming on a Wednesday night. You get to be in on the things, those who are watching and listening also. So not everybody knows that yet. So that's coming. If no issues come with the last little bit of pictures we had to reorder, have no issues with that. Those should be ready for everyone this Sunday. So Brother Mike, if you'll come.
Take your hymnals and turn to hymn 52 and sing, "Oh, leadeth me, O blessed thought." Go ahead, Miss Gil.
He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort from whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Sometimes it seems of deepest gloom,
As I said that a moment ago, it occurred to me, if you are interested in helping to give out those, being one of those people to help on either side of the stage Sunday morning, please let me know, and we'll mark you down and get you to help us with that on Sunday morning, giving those pictures out. And then as far as the directory goes, we are almost finished with putting it, laying it out and everything, but it's probably going to be till the end of April with the process of proofs and getting that back, and then the actual ordering of those and getting the final product ready. So hopefully we'll have it by the end of April, if not maybe sooner. I don't want to say too soon and then not be able to produce, but I know that we're ready with the pictures and your personal pictures that you'll have access to this coming Sunday. All right, hopefully you've had a moment there online to be able to download your prayer list. If you've not, be sure to go to our church website and do that. If you've got updates to share with us, please do that on the Facebook page. In fact, I'm going to switch over to my Facebook page on mine so that I can follow along with you. Let me pull my volume down. All right. And so if you've got that downloaded, if you need this in person, they're on the front pews here. Be sure to grab one of those. If somebody comes in late, please make sure they know where they're at to be able to get one of those. So as you look at the Highland Baptist Church family on the left side there, we're going to go through the entire part of that. We're just going to hit a few on the friends and family and all the nursing home list. I want to give you some update there. But on the Highland Baptist Church family side, we have Carolyn and S.W. Stone. And if you have any updates, please stop me and let me know. Arthur Hargrove, Betsy Farrell, Brother Mark Raymond, Miss Sandra Wells, Jewel Farrell, Bill Warren, Rick German, George Duncan, who we mentioned last week, got his prognosis that he's cancer-free. And so we praise the Lord for that. Continue to remember Miss Janet Carter, Nancy Ritchie, Brian Tate, who's still recovering from his surgery and has to go do some follow-up with his doctor this week. I think he may have already done that either yesterday or today. Remember Miss Linda Miller? She's leaving this coming weekend to go on a disaster relief trip to Elizabethton up in northeast Tennessee to help with the rebuild efforts up there. Miss Kay Williams, we had her at home, but Roger had to take her to the hospital this morning, and they did admit her. She's not been able to keep anything down. She's hurting extremely much in her back still. She's lost a lot of weight, which, you know, Kay, she can't afford to lose much weight at all. So they have admitted her to Harton. If you need that room number to be able to visit her, see me after the service, and I'll be glad to give that to you. Just don't want to share that out over the internet there. So keep her in your prayers. Keep Brother Roger in your prayers. Always, especially any of these we're praying for, always continue to keep the caregivers in your prayers, whether that's husbands or wives or other family members who are taking care of them. So keep her in your prayers. Miss Imogene Smith is at home recovering, and talked with her today. She seems to be doing fairly well. Still having a little bit of issues with her hand and hurting a little bit there. But other than that, she's pushing and wanting to be here this coming Sunday. I don't know if she will be, but I do know she's listening tonight. She said she'd be listening on the phone tonight. And then Ben Murray had some tests to do today, and so just keep him in your prayers. They had seen some things and wanted to do a colonoscopy on him, so he's had that done today. Won't know the results, I guess, from that maybe till tomorrow from him. So keep him in your prayers. Any other updates or any others that we need? And I just saw that Roger said that him and Kay are watching tonight. So. You know, that's a wonderful ministry we have through the technology that we have there, that people can be able to see no matter what their situation is. They're on vacation or whatever, they're in the hospital, they're at home. They can be able to see, they can be able to watch, they can be able to even listen through the phone live streaming. All right, if there's no other updates on the family side there, if you look at the friends and family side, just want to hit a few here near the bottom. Remember Barbara Prince, who has colon cancer. That's Ann Smith's aunt. Glenn and Mary Leibig, who are Linda Smith's parents. They are much up in age. I think Glenn is 99 and Mary is 96 right behind him. And so keep both of those in your prayer. Continue to keep Pat and Carrie Robinson, Samantha's sister and brother-in-law, in your prayers. They have been serving in Haiti. I don't think that's, you've seen all the stuff going on with the government. I don't think they're there right now, but just keep them in your prayers with all the upheaval, the things that you know that are going on in our government, and people who may be losing jobs and different things like that. Also remember Delilah Garmany, who's the 2.5-year-old who has hearing issues. Martha Brooke Hood gave us that request. I'll try to find out something from her tonight on the update for her. And then Hoyt Farrell, who is Bobby Farrell's brother, had his surgery. He had 3 bypasses. Everything went great with the surgery, Bobby said. And so we just praise the Lord for that. Continue to pray for his recovery. And hopefully in the next day or so, he'll be able to come back to the nursing home in Manchester. So keep Hoyt in your prayers. But praise the Lord, everything went great with his surgery. And then we've also added one of our CDC students, Rhett Dever, who's been sick for a couple of weeks, and also his mom. We didn't have his mom's name, but his mom has been having she's pregnant and having some pregnancy issues. And so keep her in your prayers, as well as Rhett Dever in your prayers. Any others to add to the friends and family side or updates? All right, if you'll notice then too on the nursing home and assisted living list, because Miss Imogene is no longer in the nursing home, we've got just 4 now. Miss Bertie Davis at Brookdale, Sue Prince at Morning Point, Beverly Daniels at Morning Point, and Gordon Jackson at NHC Tullahoma. And I was looking for one other. Let me see if it's on the other. Okay. It's not listed that way, and I thought she corrected it, but she didn't get to that, or maybe it's on some of yours. Wilbur Warren, who is Bill Warren's brother, he passed away. So keep that family in your prayer. So you'll notice on the friends and family side there, Wilbur Warren, who is Bill Warren's brother, he did pass away. So keep that family in your prayers. Any others? All right, and I don't see any others on Facebook, no more in here, no more updates. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get right into our study of the book of Isaiah again. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your presence with us. Thank you, Lord, for just watching over us, keeping us alive. Thank you for each breath that we've taken today. Thank you, Lord, for each thought that we've been able to have, the things we've seen, the things we've smelled, the things we've been able to touch. Lord, I pray that as we look at your creation around us, Lord, I pray that we would glorify your precious name and honor you, Lord, through praising your name. And Lord, I pray that you will bring blessing into our hearts. But Lord, we know that as we come into your holy presence, you are a righteous, holy God. There is no sin within you, and you cannot look upon the sin within us. We must bring it, confess it, repent of it, bring it under the blood of Jesus Christ, to be washed as white as snow, forgiven forever, Lord, cast into the depths of the sea, as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered anymore. And so, Father, we come before you tonight. And whatever sins we may have in our hearts, whether it's something we've committed against you, maybe it's something even we thought, or maybe it's something, Lord, that you've commanded us to do that we didn't do, Father, I pray that you would just forgive us, Lord, and cleanse us with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you will stir us in our hearts, Lord, to a closer walk with you, and fill us, Lord, with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us, to empower us to be able to live that righteous life that we ought to be living in Christ, Lord. We know that our righteousness is as filthy rags, and so that's why we come, Lord, even confessing that we have nothing within ourselves to earn your favor, to earn your love, Lord, to earn our salvation. And so, Father, we are at your mercy, and we seek your grace through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. Lord, we especially pray for our friends and for any who are on this list, Lord, who don't know Christ as our Lord and their Savior. We pray, God, that you will touch their hearts and touch their lives, Lord, that you will bring salvation to them for those who are lost, for those who are saved, Lord. We just pray that you will send the Holy Spirit to bring comfort to the hearts of those that have lost loved ones. Father, that you'll embrace them in your love. And Father, I pray that also you will be with those who are going through difficult, trying situations, many physical issues. Father, we ask for you as the great physician to touch those individuals, to bring that healing to their bodies, to display your power and your glory in a mighty way. Thank you, Lord, for the answer to prayers that we've already heard for today. But Lord, we know there are many others on our hearts also, and we uplift them all to you. We place them in your hands, and we ask for your will to be done as you bring that healing to their bodies. Lord, use that healing as a powerful witness and testimony to a lost and dying world around them, and with us being able to share the testimony of how you've worked. And Father, I pray that you would use that testimony to bring people to faith in Christ. Lord, we pray for the caregivers of each one of these individuals also. Lord, we know it's difficult caring for their loved ones as they see them hurting and they see them suffering. And so, Father, I just pray that you will lay a special blessing upon them to encourage them in their hearts, to let them know also that you are with them. Father, I pray that each one of those, whether it's the individual we're praying for or their caregivers, they would know, Lord, that you've not left them nor forsaken them, and that you do care for them and that you do love them, even in the midst of trials and tribulations that they may be going through. And Father, I pray that you'll just help them to take one thing at a time, one day at a time, one moment at a time, seeking to bring glory and honor to you in whatever days that any of us may have left on this earth. And Father, we just want to bring glory to your name through those things. But we pray for your healing upon each one of these. We know that none of these situations that these people are going through are beyond your power or your capability to answer. And so, Father, we uplift them to you. We believe in the power of prayer. And we just pray, God, that you will bring healing to their bodies. Lord, be with our kids tonight in Awana. Continue to bless them as they're memorizing scripture, as they learned from your word tonight, Lord, that you want to dwell with us, as they learned about the tabernacle. Father, I pray that that will stick in their hearts and their minds, and the giving that was given towards the tabernacle, that they've been given some gifts tonight too to take home with them. Lord, that they would use those gifts to give to others also, and that you would help them, Lord, to walk in the scriptures that they're learning and memorizing, to live that life in you and to trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Lord, we pray those seeds are being planted in their hearts and in their lives of the gospel, that they would come to faith in Christ. And so bless them, bless our teachers, give them wisdom and discernment to speak to those kids and to see those opportunities when they arise to share the good news of Jesus Christ with them. Be with our youth, God, and I just pray, God, that they are on fire for you. We just pray, God, that you will come down upon them even right now as they're meeting, studying your word, worshiping you. And Father, I pray that you will move in their their midst in a powerful way. Lord, I know they have a lot of fun and games and things too, but Lord, I pray that as they're hearing your word from Pastor Matt and from other leaders, Father, I just pray that you would use that to stir their hearts. Lord, create a passion and a fire in their hearts to be a bold witness for you, even though their peers may not be, and even though they may lose some of their peers, some of their friends as they do that. Father, help them to remain faithful to you. And I just pray, God, that you would use our teens in a powerful way, Lord, to communicate your love and your word and your truth to a lost and dying world also. So bless those teachers. Bless Pastor Matt as he's leading there also. Lord, be with our search team that's looking for a music director. We pray, God, that you'll continue to lead and guide them in the days ahead as you continue to bring that person to us. Lord, as you're preparing them in their hearts and you're preparing us for that individual, Father, we just want to be in the midst of your will, in the center of your will, doing all that you would have us to do. And so, Father, we pray tonight that as we come to study the book of Isaiah once again in one of the shortest chapters in the book of Isaiah, Father, may it be one of the most powerful chapters in the book of Isaiah for our lives tonight. Speak your truth to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to see Jesus Christ in the Old Testament here in the book of Isaiah, and help us to see the application for our hearts and for our lives even tonight as we look at your word. So bless us, and we ask for your will to be done. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Let me encourage you, if you didn't get that, please be sure to get that. We had a couple of weeks that we had not had a new updated prayer list there on the website, so be sure you grab one of those in person or get it downloaded from on the internet there on HighlandBaptistChurch.com. So take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah 39. You're thinking, whoo, we're going to get a short message tonight, only 8 verses. No, we're going to not only look at Isaiah 39, we're also going to go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 32, because this is a parallel verse. We talked about this last week, that even chapter 37, chapter 38, and chapter 39 are paralleled there in 2 Chronicles 32, as well as in the book of Kings, too. And so we're just going to look at a few passages in 2 Chronicles 32 to give us the bigger picture of what's happening that Isaiah is addressing in his chapter here in Isaiah 39. So as we think about Hezekiah, who we're still dealing with at this point, if you'll remember back at the beginning of all this, this is in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that all this begins to take place. And although King Hezekiah was a righteous and was righteous, totally committed to the Lord, we find out about Hezekiah that he wasn't perfect. Who is? None of us are. And soon after his illness, he unwisely entertains some of the ambassadors from Babylon. Now, if you remember last time, and this is what we're going to go back to in 2 Chronicles 32 in just a little bit, we're going to go ahead and catch these verses first and then kind of rewind to 2 Chronicles 32. You remember last week in chapter 38 is where the enemy, the Assyrians, 185,000 of those were killed in one night by the hand of the Lord, and then they take off fleeing back to Damascus, to their capital. They've got some problems up there because they're being attacked in their own country while they've been down here in this siege against Jerusalem. But God had it all as a part of his plan, and so what we see now is we're going to move from the Assyrians to the Babylonians. And you remember the Babylonians, you think about when you think about the Babylonians, you think about Daniel. Daniel has a lot to do with the Babylonians. And so we find that he entertains some ambassadors in Babylon, and this is the beginning of all of that that comes about with Babylon. And in his entertaining, what we find out is he exposes that he is not perfect. He has a heart of pride. He has a heart of self-exaltation. Because of his pride, the judgment of God is going to be pronounced on him, and a prediction made concerning the future destiny of the nation. So in a very straightforward manner, the scripture tells us in these 8 verses the story of this king's pride. Now, hearing about Hezekiah's deathly illness, we find out that this crown prince of Babylon, Merodach-Baladan, sends a letter, and he sends some gifts to Hezekiah as an expression of his concern. So let's read verse 1 if you will, of Isaiah 39, verse 1. At that time, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent envoys with letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick and recovered. Now, that's not all he heard. He heard about the 185,000 of the Assyrians that were destroyed. So he knew something's up with this Hezekiah. Not only has these 185,000 been killed in one night, Hezekiah, who was deathly ill, has regained his health, regained his strength. Something is up and about Hezekiah. And so that's why he has an ulterior motive here, the Babylonians do, in sending this envoy to come and to find out what's going on. So he brings a letter. That's what you do if you're wanting to get close to your enemy to find out. You bring a letter and you bring some candy. You bring a gift. That's what he does here. He sends a gift to Hezekiah. So you think about it. Why would the crown prince of Babylon, the soon-to-be, not yet, but the soon-to-be superpower of the world, why would he want to express his concern for Hezekiah? Well, that's what we're going to read about when we get over to 2 Chronicles, that tells us that his curiosity was stirred when he heard about the miraculous healing of Hezekiah. He also heard, you remember last week we talked about the movement of the sundial. And that's also given over in the book of Kings as well as in 2 Chronicles. He's heard about that miracle. He's probably experienced it because it was probably a worldwide experience there as God moved the shadow on the sundial backwards. In other words, moving time, the time clock backwards in a sense there. And so he had heard about all of that. But there's some additional information that we're going to see in 2 Chronicles 32 that supplied there for us, as well as some places that are outside the scripture. Josephus is one of those, a Jewish historian, and he says that the king of Babylon was seeking out Hezekiah as a friend, as an ally. Maybe so, but ultimately he's seeking out to know the lay of the land, who he can build alliances with and who he can overcome and conquer. He's wanting to know the lay of the land for his future dealings. So whatever Merodach-Baladan's purpose, Hezekiah gives him a warm reception. Look at verse 2. So Hezekiah, he opens his arms. He welcomes them greatly, gladly, and he showed them his treasure house. Wait a second. Why are you doing this? Why are you showing another nation, which is not part of the tribes of Israel? You know that all those other nations are godless nations. Why are you bringing them in and showing them all the treasures of your house? The silver, the gold, the spices, the precious oil, his whole armory. Now you're getting into the military things. All that was founded in his storehouses. There was nothing in his house or in all his realm and all his kingdom that Hezekiah did not show them. What in the world is going on? That would be like us opening up to show all of our secret technology that we might have in our military to show the world, here's what all we have. That would be mind-boggling to take that kind of action. And that, yet that's what Hezekiah does here. He swelled up with pride in his heart. He's wanting to brag about all the riches they've got, wanting to brag about their artillery. We just had 185,000 Assyrians that were dead, that were killed in one night. Look at us. Look at what we do. And it had nothing to do with Hezekiah. It had everything to do with God. And so he's filled with pride, and he entertains these envoys, sharing the story of his healing, then foolishly showing them his vast wealth. There wasn't anything in his palace or throughout the kingdom that he failed to show them. And obviously, that included, as we see the armory there, the strength of his military, as well as the wealth that's found in the palace and also in the temple treasuries. And as would be expected, notice what happens in verse 3 and verse 4 as God speaks to Isaiah to go and rebuke Hezekiah. Then Isaiah the prophet in verse 3 came to King Hezekiah and said to him, "What did these men say? And from where did they come to you?" Hezekiah said, "They have come to me from a far country, from Babylon." He said, "What have they seen in your house?" Hezekiah answered, "They've seen all that's in my house. There's nothing in my storehouses that I did not show them. So Isaiah confronts the king here. He questions him about his entertaining of the ambassadors. He doesn't make any attempt to hide his actions. He freely shares, this is what I did. In other words, he really didn't think there was anything wrong with what he was doing. He had shown them the wealth. He had shown them the treasuries of the nation. No doubt, as Isaiah comes to him, Isaiah is heavy-hearted. But with the authority of God himself, the prophet Isaiah pronounces God's judgment on Hezekiah and Judah because of Hezekiah's pride and the sins of the nation down through the centuries. Judah is going to face God's condemnation. So look at verse 5 down to verse 7. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord of hosts." Here's what's going to happen, Hezekiah. "Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and that which your fathers have stored up till this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing, not one thing is going to be left, says the Lord. And some of your own sons who will come from you, whom you will father, shall be taken away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." And Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "The word of the Lord that you have spoken is good." For he thought, well, there'll be peace. There'll be security in my days. So what Isaiah tells him at first in verse 5 down through verse 7 is that in the near future, Babylon is going to conquer Judah and carry off all the wealth of the nation. And what the Babylonian ambassador had seen, all the treasuries of the king, as well as those of the nation, he wasn't ever going to forget that. He was going to report that back to the king, and they wouldn't forget about all the treasuries that they saw there in Jerusalem. The future leaders of Babylon would covet the wealth shown by Hezekiah in his moment of self-exalting and his pride. Because think about it. Think about all that Solomon, who was the wisest king, who God blessed with all kinds of riches. All of that was still stored in the temple treasuries and in other places across the kingdom. And so they had amassed a great wealth in the nation of Judah there in Solomon's days that still continued into Hezekiah's days. And none of that was going to be forgotten. And Hezekiah, in his moment of self-exalting and his pride, shared all that. And Babylon is going to covet all that he showed them. Moreover, some of Hezekiah's descendants, Isaiah says, are going to be forced to serve as eunuchs, as devoted slaves in the palace of Babylon's king. You then think about Daniel. You think about his three friends, those young guys who were young and wise and impressionable that Babylon thought, we'll take all of those and we'll change them into Babylonians, and they'll go back as emissaries on our behalf to reestablish their nation. Well, in a spirit of repentance, Hezekiah humbly accepts God's judgment, but in his private thoughts, he's wondering and asking if he would finish out his days in peace and security. You know, pride is a terrible evil. You know, when a person begins to look on themselves as being superior to or better than others, you're exalting yourself over others, applauding your own efforts, and you feel that you should be preferred over others and consider yourself to be more valuable than others. And a person who's full of pride and self-exaltation is often arrogant and overbearing and disrespectful. They frequently put other people down, degrade people, embarrass people, stifle people, harm people, and in some cases, even enslave others. And for that reason, God strongly condemns pride and the exalting of ourselves above others. So one of the lessons we need to learn from Isaiah 39 is that we need to stay as far away from pride in our own hearts as we can. You see the downfall that it brings for Hezekiah, but listen to what else the Bible says. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 12 says, "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." So you lift yourself up, and you lift yourself up in pride, thinking you're the hot stuff. God says, okay, you're going to be humble. And he says those who start out humbled, those are the ones who are going to be exalted, because they're going to be exalted by him. And then over in Romans chapter 12 and verse 16, the Bible says this: live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty or prideful, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. And there's many more scriptures. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And so we need to make sure that we stay away from pride. It is a sin, an evil that will bring destruction to our bodies and to our lives. And so what I want to do at this point is take us back to the passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, 2 Chronicles 32. So you'll go all the way back before the book of Psalms, you'll find the Kings, and then you'll find 1 and 2 Chronicles, and you're pretty close to the end of 2 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles 32. And that's the passage. There's a lot of the passage here that goes on with Hezekiah and his story, but 32 is where we want to pick up, because it begins to tell us this story and to lay out this scenario for us that at any given time within any country, within any government or ruling body, a crisis can come. And a critical situation that has to be handled. A crisis can be the threat of war or war itself. It can be a broken treaty. It can be terrorist actions. It can be an uprising. It can be natural disasters like earthquakes and hurricanes and forest fires and flash floods. On a personal level, though, we've been talking about in Ephesians, we're in a spiritual battle. And so on a personal level, every one of us faces crises in our lives. Critical situations like serious illnesses or disease or accidents or financial difficulties, maybe even the loss of a job. We experience things like divided relationships and a host of other kinds of potentially serious problems. But no matter what confronts us, no matter the difficulty that comes our way — there was a lot of difficulty that comes Hezekiah's way, that comes towards the nation of Judah here. So no matter what comes our way and confronts us, there is good news. And that's what we see in the Bible, in the Old Testament. You'll see God's judgment, but many times you'll see his good news paired with it also. One of the things we see is his unlimited sovereign power of God is available to carry us through the crisis. And that power is the power of God himself. We are God's creation in his hands. And God loves us, and God cares about what happens to us. So he makes his power available to us, a power that has the strength to carry us through any crisis that we might face. But also, God's unlimited sovereign power is the subject of this passage in 2 Chronicles 32. God's power delivers Hezekiah from the invasion by the oppressive Assyrians, who were the terror, who were the scourge of the world during that particular period of history. And when you read this account all the way through chapter 32, you'll see you'll remember the returning exiles would learn later that God would deliver them through any crisis, no matter how critical the situation. So that same power that God had used to deliver Hezekiah in healing him from the very throes of death and to deliver the people of his day, that same power is available to deliver those returning exiles as they remain faithful to him, and that same power is available to us today. So two things we want to see from 2 Chronicles chapter 32 is this. First of all, Hezekiah's deliverance. Hezekiah's deliverance. You see this in verse 1 down to verse 23. Now, most of this we've already gone over in a lot of detail, so we're not going to spend as much time in verse 1 through verse 23, but let me just give you some summary things from this and a lesson from that. You know, from the Assyrian invasion, we learn God's power to deliver his people. Hezekiah was mightily delivered from this Assyrian invasion, the superpower of that day. Remember that Assyria was a terrifying nation. They were a nuisance to their neighbors in the world, but it's God's mighty power that delivers them. It wasn't them. They didn't raise a hand against the Assyrian army. It was God. Now, earlier in the Bible, you find out that Hezekiah's father, who was Ahaz, had willingly subjected Judah to Assyria, which meant they were having to pay a heavy annual tax or tribute to the domineering nation. So to keep them from coming against them, it was like extortion money, if you would. You've heard of mobs doing that to businesses and things, or gangs doing that to businesses, getting them to pay a tax, getting them to pay something to keep them from doing anything to them. But what we find out with Hezekiah is the Lord fills Hezekiah with the inner strength, giving him the courage to resist the oppression of the Assyrians, unlike his father Ahaz. Rebelling against the king of Assyria and refusing to pay that tax took an enormous courage from Hezekiah. And you remember also that he tore down all those temple, all those little false god things, those little false idol and altars that had been established up in the mountain areas and other places. He had tore all those down because Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, uses that in his arguments against Hezekiah and to the people. Don't believe what he's saying. Look what he did. He tore your god down, which he didn't understand that wasn't their god. But God gives him the inner strength, a strength seldom seen in rulers. And as a result, Hezekiah broke the heavy yoke of the Assyrian oppression. But Hezekiah goes on to make some unwise decisions. He rejects the warning of the Lord that Isaiah brought to him. Don't do this. Don't form this alliance with Egypt. And together they marched against the Philistines and others who were, in a sense, vassal states of Assyria. And in battle after battle, the coalition defeated the Philistines as far as Gaza and its territory. And it was for these two reasons that aroused the Assyrian king Sennacherib to finally come and to invade Judah. He knows that if he doesn't, he runs the risk of Judah rising up against him with the Egyptians as well to come against him. And so the invasion by Assyria, we remember it took place in the 14th year of Hezekiah's reign. And facing that fierce, overwhelming face of the Assyrians there, Hezekiah and Isaiah did the only thing they could do. The only thing you can do when you face any crisis in your life. What do you think that is? Pray. That's what you do. Pray. They go to the Lord in prayer. And you see that in the verses. And if you read on down in chapter 32, and this is not on the screen, but in verse 20 and verse 21 of chapter 32, it says, Hezekiah the king and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, prayed because of this and cried to heaven. And the Lord sent an angel who cut off the mighty warriors and commanders and officers in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame a face to his own land. And when he came into the house of his God, some of his own sons struck him down there with the sword. So that's a real short synopsis of what happened. We know that 185,000 were killed, soldiers were killed by that angel. He goes back, and then he is killed, assassinated by his own sons. And so the Assyrian survivors, they break camp, they leave. And as a result of this great victory here, this miraculous deliverance, Hezekiah and his people, remember Hezekiah was wondering back in Isaiah, well, maybe there's going to be a time of peace. Well, in verse 22 and verse 23, we find that they do have a long period of peace. So the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, king of Assyria, and from the hand of all his enemies. And he provided for them on every side, and many brought gifts to the Lord to Jerusalem, precious things to Hezekiah, king of Judah, so that he was exalted in the sight of all the nations from that time onward. I mean, think about it. They just killed, or at least in the people's minds, the nation's minds, they just killed 185,000. They don't realize it was God who did that. The nation of Judah should see that and know that. But these other nations, they're obviously now afraid to attack Judah because the Lord is protecting his people on every side. God is giving them peace throughout the land. So all they can do at this time in their history is just bring gifts to try to appease the nation of Judah so they don't get in trouble with them and have something happen to them like happened to the Assyrians, because nobody was able to defeat the Assyrians before. And so in an expression of appreciation, they bring these offerings. Well, Hezekiah, we found out, he's highly respected now amongst these nations. You can just see his chest is puffing out more and more and more. His head's getting bigger and bigger as he's being filled more and more with pride. Whoa, look at here. All these people keep bringing us gifts. man, I must be something. And he starts thinking about himself, and he esteems himself more highly than others. And so what we can learn here is that God does have the power to deliver his people, no matter what we may be facing. Whether it's disappointment or discouragement or loneliness or emptiness, or whether it's disease or accident or broken relationships, whether it's unfaithfulness or tragedy or the loss of a loved one or unemployment, the Lord's power is more than sufficient to meet our every need. The Lord's power is available there to deliver us, to set us free, to rescue us, to strengthen us, to provide for us, to lift us up when we're down, to walk with us, to carry us, to shield us, to love us, to watch over us, to protect us, to comfort us. Even in death, God delivers his children so that we never have to taste or experience death. He transfers us immediately, quicker than the eye can blink, into the spiritual world. And there we live forever in the Lord's presence. If we trust in the Lord in all that we do, crying out to him for deliverance as Hezekiah and Isaiah did for the people, crying out for deliverance, nothing will be able to ever conquer us or defeat us ultimately. Now, we might have times that we feel like we're defeated, but ultimately you're not. The Lord will empower us to stand up. The Lord will walk with us and through us, with us through any trial, any temptation, no matter how terrifying or how seductive. But then we come to verse 24 to verse 33, where we're going to spend the last of our time and the most of our time looking at these last verses, because this part has to deal with Hezekiah's illness and the prosperity that they experience and he experiences as a nation. So in verse 24 down through verse 33, it's closing out Hezekiah's reign. The author here is discussing the king's terminal illness. He's discussing his prosperity. This account is given, that's given here is shorter than the one that's given over in 2 Kings. You can read 2 Kings chapter 20. If you're taking notes, 2 Kings chapter 20, you can read a more detailed experience of what happens with the king there. But shockingly, right after the deliverance of Jerusalem from this Assyrian threat, Hezekiah becomes deathly sick. He's soon to die. And yet in faith, he prays to the Lord. And the Lord in compassion immediately answers the king's prayer and miraculously heals him. Look at verse 24. In those days, Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death. He's about to die, about to take his last breath. And he prayed to the Lord, and he answered him, and he gave him a sign. Now, when you read 2 Kings 20, you'll find out what the sign was. We talked about that last time. They told him he would give him 15 more years. He would give him 15 more years of life, and that he would also protect the nation during this time, and they would indeed have a time of peace. So here's Hezekiah, who had been exalted, prideful in his heart. He's brought low. He had let pride fill his heart. He didn't acknowledge the Lord as he should have. And you come to verse 25 and verse 26 there, and it says that even after he's healed, even after the deliverance from Assyria, Hezekiah did not make return according to the benefit done to him, for his heart was proud. Therefore, wrath came upon him and Judah and Jerusalem. But Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord did not come upon them in the days of Hezekiah. So how many days are left for Hezekiah? 15 years. And so for the next 15 years, God doesn't bring the final judgment upon Judah that he had already been talking about was coming. So he stays his hand of judgment, much like I believe he stays his hand of judgment on us here in America, because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to salvation. He's giving one more opportunity for people to come to faith in Christ. And so as a result, God pronounced the judgment on Hezekiah, but during that pronouncement, Hezekiah breaks in his heart. He repents. The people humble themselves also. And that sincere repentance and humility, the Lord delays his hand of judgment, as we read on to verse 26 there, that he humbled himself and God had his hand upon him. But what had stirred pride within his heart? Well, we read about that back in Isaiah. When that crown prince of Babylon heard about the miraculous healing of Hezekiah, his curiosity was aroused. And you'll see that when you get to verse 31 there. Verse 31 says, "And so in the matter of the envoys of the princes of Babylon who had been sent to him to inquire about the sign that had been done in the land, God left him to himself in order to test him and to know all that was in his heart." So here was this crown prince here of Babylon who sends his special envoys to ask about the healing. Remember we saw that Hezekiah takes him in and shows him everything, all the wealth, all the temple treasuries, the storage cities throughout the nation. And immediately the Lord sent the prophet Isaiah, as we read in Isaiah, to rebuke the king. And the authority of God himself, Isaiah pronounced God's judgment on Hezekiah and Judah because of that pride and because of the people's sin down through the centuries. And he says that someday in the near future, Babylon is going to conquer Judah. They're going to take off all the wealth of the nation, the very wealth that Hezekiah had so readily shown the Babylonian ambassadors. And unsurprisingly, the ambassadors would not forget what they had seen, as we saw in the book of Isaiah. In summarizing Hezekiah's reign, the author here in 2 Chronicles, which is a more condensed version here, tells of the Lord's great blessing upon his life and his great wealth and his great prosperity. Look at verse 27. It says, "And Hezekiah had very great riches and honor, and he made for himself treasuries for silver, for gold, for precious stones, for spices, for shields, and for all kinds of costly vessels. Storehouses also for the yield of grain, wine, and oil, and stalls for all kinds of cattle and sheepfolds." So if you remember what happened, the Assyrian army has been defeated, 185,000. Hezekiah has been miraculously healed. All these nations start bringing more into the coffers than even what Solomon had had already that they had hung on to throughout the years. And they start bringing more. So he starts amassing more. He starts building storehouses more. And we know in the New Testament, when you start doing that, pride has entered into your heart. And great will be the fall of a person who is proud in their hearts for those things. So we see that he has silver, precious stones, spices, shields, all kind of other valuable items. He builds these storage buildings to harvest the grain, the wine, the oil from his farms. I mean, he's just getting more and more proud in his heart. In addition, he builds a large number of towns. Go on to verse 29. He likewise provided cities for himself. Now, when I read that, I thought about, in the New Testament, you'll remember that Herod does that. Herod has these cities that he builds. Tiberias is one of those on the Sea of Galilee. He builds Masada is another temple, another place that he builds on top of the mound out by the Dead Sea there. He has those places all around Palestine there that he builds, all these cities for himself. Well, that's what Hezekiah is doing. He's building cities for himself, flocks and herds in abundance. So this is what's going on in these last 15 years of Hezekiah's life. This is the legacy that he's leaving. That things, possessions, are the most important. Because, as we read in verse 29, he did all this because God had given him very great possessions. God did bless him. But understand, when God blesses us, he doesn't bless us for ourselves. He blesses us to be a blessing to others. And so, we come down to verse 30, it says, "This same Hezekiah closed the upper outlet of the waters of Gihon and directed them down to the west side of the city of David. And Hezekiah prospered in all his works." I mean, things are going great. It's a time of great peace. Things are strolling along. God uses him and he brings water down. He even cuts a tunnel beneath Jerusalem. You can go and see that when things open up for you to be able to go again. But you can see that there, even in Jerusalem, that they've excavated down to those tunnels of the water, the places for the water to come through under the city. He was able to provide a permanent water supply for the capital city. And as scripture says, Hezekiah succeeded and prospered in all the works he undertook. When I think about where we are as a nation, has God blessed us? By far. You compare ourselves to any other nation around this world, God has blessed us in ways innumerable and immeasurable that we can't even imagine. And yet, all too often, we let those things exalt ourselves. We keep it to ourselves instead of letting God's prosperity to us cause us to be a blessing to others. And so, in the midst of God's blessing on his life, the Lord tests Hezekiah, verse 31. And so, in the matter of the envoys of the princes of Babylon, who had been sent to him to look at the sign that had been done in the land, God left him to himself in order to test him and to know all that was in his heart. So the Lord had used those ambassadors from Babylon to test his heart, knowing that Hezekiah was taking pride in his wealth. The Lord is seeking to expose to Hezekiah his own arrogance. And Hezekiah, he repents of his pride, and the Lord delays the pronounced judgment upon him in the nation. And after Hezekiah's death, he's buried in Jerusalem and greatly honored by the people of God. So verse 32 and verse 33 says, "Now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and his good deeds, behold, they are written in the vision of who? Isaiah the prophet." So there's that connection to Isaiah's book, the son of Amos. "And also in the book of Kings, of the kings of Judah and Israel." And then Hezekiah dies. Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the upper part of the tombs of the sons of David. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem did him honor at his death, and Manasseh, his son, reigned in his place. So his successor was who? Manasseh. The power of prayer is indescribable and too wonderful for words. Now, what we're going to see is Manasseh is one of the worst kings. One of the worst kings Judah ever has. He does all kinds of terrible things. He doesn't learn the lessons that Hezekiah learned. So we see that we have an important responsibility as parents, as grandparents, to pass on the truth of God's word. We have an important responsibility to pass this on to the next generations and to the next generations so that they would know God's word. Well, we saw God's power here in prayer, and it is powerful. Why? Because there is no limit to God's power. God is omnipotent. What does that mean? All-powerful. He's all-powerful, possessing perfect, unlimited power to do anything he desires. And yet God is not only omnipotent, all-powerful, he is also omniscient, all-knowing, knows all things. So nothing is hidden from God nor out of his sight. He sees and he knows everything. You see, the fact of God's omnipotence and his omniscience, his all-powerfulness and his all-knowingness, is the most wonderful news for us, because for God knows when you're going through a crisis. He knows when you're facing that serious illness. He knows what you're going through right now. He knows when a crisis confronts us. And he has the power to handle our illness. He has the power to handle our crisis. When we face those seemingly insurmountable problems, our responsibility is to pray, to turn our face towards the Lord, and to cry out to him. If we're sincere and willing to turn our lives totally over to him, God will hear and answer our prayers. And in some cases, God does miraculously heal us. In other cases, he gives us the strength to walk through the illness of crisis victoriously, even conquering death itself. But we saw also God is omniscient. He knows everything. He knows when you're going through the crisis or through the trouble. But he also knows your sin. He knows your heart, if pride is in your heart. And so that ought to bring us to our knees in repentance towards him, that we might experience his blessing, getting the strength to walk through whatever we have to face, even conquering death itself. Because through prayer, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that God cannot overcome or conquer for us. Because God knows the very hairs on your heads. He knows everything about you, and he has all the power at his disposal to help us. Why does he help some and he doesn't help others? Only God can ultimately answer that. But we know for Hezekiah, he allows him to go through these things to test his heart for where he is at with the Lord, to ultimately bring him to the place that when his life is finished, he's done everything he should have done and said everything he should have said, and that he's honored God and left a legacy to honor the Lord with his heart. So even though Hezekiah wasn't perfect, Hezekiah ultimately comes to the place of repentance in his heart. And God blesses that. God will do the same for you and for me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word of truth tonight. And Father, I pray that if we're struggling with some crisis in our life right now, whatever it might be, remind us in our hearts, God, from the promise of your word, that there is nothing that you are not powerful enough to take care of in our lives. You are all powerful. Lord, you already know what it is we're going through. Lord, sometimes we feel like, where are you, Lord? Don't you know what struggle I'm facing? Don't you know the crisis I'm in? And you do. Sometimes, Lord, you're allowing us to go through those things to grow us, to mature us, to make us more complete, lacking nothing. Sometimes you allow us to go through those things because you're going to bring a healing that you want to use to be a testimony to the world. Hezekiah's healing was a testimony of your power to the nations of the world. It spoke to them, and they didn't cause any more harm to the nation of Judah for the next 15 years. And so, Father, I pray that we would realize, no matter what it is we're going through, you have the power to take care of whatever it is in our lives. And you are also omniscient. You are all-knowing. You know the troubles we're going through. You know the sin that's in our lives. And you know, God, the perfect plan for us, even though we don't. Even though we don't understand that plan always. So, Lord, we come to trust you tonight. To say, Lord, whatever it is we may be going through, we're here to surrender ourselves completely to you. That, Lord, ultimately, if it means that I leave this world in death like Hezekiah did, Lord, we enter into your presence because we knew Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. May that be the most important thing for our hearts and our lives. May until that day, Lord, I pray it's many years before we draw our last breath. Lord, until that day, I pray, God, that we will be a living witness, a living testimony of your power, of your knowledge, of your gospel, and your glory, and your grace, and your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining with us here tonight, especially online there. We look forward to seeing you again this coming Sunday, 9:15 for Sunday school, 10:30 for worship. Come and join us if you can. If you can't, please join us there on our social media platforms, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and our phone live streaming. But thank you so much for being with us. You have a blessed week, a safe week, and we'll see you this coming Sunday.